The microphone is, it picks up really easily, so it's...
Okay. What year do you want me to start?
Well, I want to start way back. I wanted to ask you if you know, if you have any information about your grandparents. Do you know about your grandparents?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about them on this side of your family?
Oh, my mother's family, I didn't know until after my father died. There was a family dispute, but my father's people were raised since way back in the early 1800s in Honey Grove, Texas, where I was born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very close. They had four sons. My father was the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
And no daughters. And all four sons were married. And there was nine grandsons when I was born, the first girl.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiled rotten by grandfather. And he died in 1937 at 67, I think. And my grandmother was 64 then, so I don't know how you add on up to know, but she lived to be 96.
Mm-hmm.
And most remarkable storybook grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And my father died when I was 10 and left my mother with a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 10-year-old
mm-hmm.
girl and two boys. And we lived on farms at that time for 2 years, and my mother married, an elderly gentleman and moved into town. He was a mail carrier, country mail carrier,
mm-hmm.
and he only lived 7 months. So we worked through the Depression. Both boys left home to seek their own way of life since mother couldn't support all of us. And she and I worked. We would can on the halves and quilt quilts and paper houses and sew, do anything, clean houses, to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest uncle, Uncle Sam, was a superintendent of schools in Spur, Texas. And he wanted to educate me to be a home ec teacher since I had leanings in that way. And my mother didn't feel that a girl needed any education, and she wouldn't let me go. So at the 10th grade, I finished that in Rockwood School and got married.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to backtrack here.
Mm-hmm.
What were your grandparents, your father's
mm-hmm.
Name, first of all, I guess I
Hall,
say.
Levi Hall.
So that was your maiden name,
mm-hmm.
was Hall?
Mm-hmm.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Llewellyn.
Llewellyn?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And she, had you, well, in Honey Grove, what was it that your grandparents did?
Farmers.
They were farmers?
Farmers, mm-hmm.
Had they been born and raised in that same area?
I don't know where my grandmother and grandfather were born. Their families, the Hall family tree was traced back to military men in England.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my father was mostly Irish, and my grandmother was French and Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where she was raised. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's father was a foundling. They don't know where he came from, how he got his name, and I don't know anything about her mother.
Mm-hmm.
They were not pleasant people.
Mm. So when you were growing up, or there
mm-hmm.
wasn't a closeness to that set of grandparents?
Uh-uh. No.
Uh-huh. Do you know how old your mother was when she married your father?
She was 20.
Mm-hmm. Had she had any education?
She went through the ninth grade.
Uh-huh.
At that time, girls were not educated. Mother was born in 1891,
mm-hmm.
same year as my father.
Mm-hmm.
And he had wanted to be a doctor, and religion got in the way. My grandfather was a stern Methodist churchgoer
mm-hmm.
who became mellowed as we grandchildren came on, but he wanted my father to be a minister. My father had no desire for that. So when he had gone 2 years to college, he quit and married my mother, and they moved to a farm, and on that farm he died. Of pneumonia at 36.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of, what year were you born?
1917.
Are you the oldest?
Youngest.
The youngest, okay. how do the children come before you? And
a brother 5 years older and a brother 2 years older.
So the one brother was then 14, and you were 10, the youngest. What did your father work at after he married your mother?
Farmer.
He also worked at a farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it the same family farm as your grandparents?
No, it was 5 miles outside of Honey Grove.
Mm-hmm.
He rented a farm, and in sometime between 1924, he and my grandfather started buying farms in Oklahoma together. In those years, cotton crops were quite good crops, and sometimes they made out all right, and sometimes they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he and a son of the owner of the farm we were raised on, Fulchers, they bought a farm out on Bordark Creek, which is north of Honey Grove. And we lived on that 1 year after my father died. And to give you the idea of the kind of a farm it was, the house sit up on top of a hill and down into the old creek bed, a river bed, I guess. It's Bordark Creek, it was called, but it's more like a river. It came off Red River Creek. We had planted cotton, and the cotton had two leaves on it, and we got a rain and had 20 feet of water over the cotton. So obviously it was not a farmable grit. But they were drilling oil all around that area and capping for oil. And we know there's oil on it, but the government took it in, when did Roosevelt go in? I forgot what it was. 34, 35, or somewhere in there. They took quite a few farms and made a game preserve and a lake and a recreation area out of it. Well, once government takes land, they quote-unquote give you mineral rights for a number of years, but you can never collect on them. We kept the oil rights. But I called Edgar Fulcher about 4 or 5 years ago to know if he could trace it back. My mother had lost the records, and he said that he was quite sure it was only for 15 years, so I didn't pursue it. And the other lands and farms in Oklahoma were sold, one or two at a time, and then finally sold off after my grandmother died, and I can't remember when she died.
So you stayed in Honey Grove until you were about how old?
22.
And when your mother had remarried, did you moved out of Honey Grove for a little while?
No, we moved in from the farm into town.
Into town.
Yeah.
We
lived in town the rest of the time.
And she was only married to him for about
7 months.
So during those years, let's say, growing up, I was wondering what kinds of games you would play as children.
Well, I was an acrobat, just in skating, and we played dominoes. My mother was a strict Methodist. We weren't allowed to play cards or drink or dance or really not much fun. We had slumber parties, and our Methodist church group had some twins that had just graduated from college when I was, I guess, about in the eighth grade. And they started with the young people, and they kept us busy. You know, we'd have the church services, Young People's League, it was called. And they would supervise us on hay rides, and they would take us to Paris, Texas, which was about 20-some-odd miles, to the swimming pool, and they taught us all to swim. And it was a companionship Christian sort of thing. And we all took part in the, what do they call them, sports in high school.
intramurals?
Well, the boys played football, and we had our softball, and we were in the pep squad and all of that sort of thing. And we had our, what's in the relays and those sort of things? I can't remember.
Track
meet once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And our school activities and our church were just about all the playthings that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And in a small town, the groups of children who associate with each other is in your church group. The Baptist kids were all friends, the Methodist kids were all friends, the Christian kids were all friends,
mm-hmm.
and the Presbyterian kids, and very few ever crossed over. And, you know, I never thought about it at the time, mm-hmm. until many years afterwards. How strange. We all went to high school, but yet our friends were with our church group.
Mm-hmm.
And we sang in the choir and things like that. It was, looking back on it now, compared to today's youth, it was rather uninteresting and dull. We had Will Rogers to keep us laughing and Amos Nandy, you know, the radio program.
Mm-hmm.
And really, working so hard, we didn't have as much spare time as children today do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had to wash, and you didn't have washing machines. You did it on the board. And canning. We'd can summer and winter.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the wintertime when we'd be canning beefs, we would start at 6 o'clock in the morning and take the last canner off about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I'd get up the next day and go to school. So you didn't have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned canning, mm-hmm. and washing. What other kinds of chores did you have around the house?
Well, we painted, and we had a garden, and we'd can fruit and vegetables, but meat was done in tin cans at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And washing and ironing and sewing. I made all of my own clothes since I was 13. I guess that was about all. Babysit around the neighborhood, take care of whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that time, any adult that would ask a child to do something for them, like, would you run to the store or would you help me with this, you were expected to do it and not ask why,
mm-hmm.
which built a lot of character.
Did you live with your friends, and I was wondering that you would do these activities with,
mm-hmm.
Were they mostly girls, or was it a mixed group of boys and...
Oh, that was a mixed group.
Uh-huh.
About, other than slumber parties, you know, there was always one girl that would have the fellows come over and meet them as we... She just couldn't do without her boyfriend that evening.
Uh-huh.
That was through, really, before we got interested in boys, really. And we still played spin the bottle and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the church group, per se, on the hay rides and the weenie bakes and all of that sort of thing, oh, yeah, there was about pretty close to equal boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
But there was not much dating. I didn't start dating until I was 16,
mm-hmm.
mainly because I didn't have time.
What other, was that what you mean with all the work?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
No.
Did your brothers do the same kinds of things you did, or did they have a different set of chores?
My oldest brother left home and got married when he was about 17. He dropped out of high school when he was in the 8th grade. Just never would apply himself.
Mm-hmm.
And my next brother, the one 2 years older than me, was George. He had, when we were in the farm community in the little country schoolhouse, he had been hit across the head with a baseball bat, and it cracked his head all across that way and was left with a tumor, which created an epileptic type condition.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a live wire, nervous wreck. But the happiest, the lucky man in the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm.
And he was put in an epileptic home for a year when he was going through puberty, to was my uncle's recommendation, to strong discipline and, you know, create an atmosphere that he could learn to live with the rest of society.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of epileptic are quite often strong-willed and a little on the mean side.
Mm-hmm.
So this school got him on a regimented eating, doing diet. So when he came home from that, he was a young man, and he went to work at the tailor shop,
mm-hmm.
which was the cleaning establishment, and you ordered your men's tailored clothes through that.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked there until, I guess he married at, let's see, I married at 19. He was 21 when he got married.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went into building homes, contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on from that to Beaumont, Texas. And when the Korean War broke out, he was worth close to $1 million in building commercial buildings, mm-hmm. with a fifth grade education. And that broke him. He had a nervous breakdown. And all this time, he worked about 20 hours a day, and he went like this the rest of the time, just couldn't sit still. And, I guess he was off work about a year, and then he borrowed $50,000 and bought the franchise for Chris Craft Boat Business on Beaumont, Texas. And he acquired, I would say close to another $1 million when he retired.
Mm-hmm.
So he just worked and did it the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest brother went in the service as a CB, and he came out of that and went into building also.
Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge, he's still a contractor. We've never gotten along.
Mm. Did you, when you were younger, did mm-hmm. your family do many things together, say, as a family socially?
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the boys left, both brothers moved out when I was still just a child. And after my father died, before my father died, our grandparents on my father's side and the three brothers in my family would get together about 6 times a year at my grandparents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like an old Irish get-together where everybody giggled and laughed and fun, you know, for a week or two at a time. And there was never a presence, per se, from grandparents, except on your birthday, and then you were royal.
Mm-hmm.
But Christmas times, presents weren't even mentioned. We just got to go to Granny's house, you know, that sort of thing. But after my father died, he was the first member of the family to go.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother said she just couldn't stand it anymore, you know. So we never all got together, except at funerals after that.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1939, I know I'm skipping around, but in 1939, my husband was out here.
Mm-hmm.
And the day I got the wire to come out, he had a job.
Mm-hmm.
My younger uncle was hit by a drunk driver and killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also 36. Now, that was the oldest and the youngest son of my grandparents killed.
Mm-hmm.
So that really just destroyed the family, not for closeness,
mm-hmm.
but the grandkids, I think they ended up around 16 grandchildren. I don't know how many great-grandchildren, must be 10 or 12 by now.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother, George, just older than me, he has a daughter that was born in 39,
mm-hmm.
and she has 4 children, and I have the one son. She has a son 4 months younger than John.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
even out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my father didn't make out very well on children. Grandchildren, I mean. But the only social activity the family together ever did was the going to my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
There was no fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the schools had Easter egg hunts and things like that,
mm-hmm.
in the younger years,
mm-hmm.
but nothing in high school.
Yeah. Did, so when your father died, that was very unexpectedly,
mm-hmm.
or he hadn't been ill or anything? Or?
Well, for 2 weeks, but in those days there wasn't penicillin or anything to cure him.
Mm-hmm. And living close, well, did he die of?
Pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you mentioned it. Was he at home then when
mm-hmm.
he was ill?
Yeah.
Were you aware at the time that he was that ill, or were the children sort of kept from?
Oh no, we knew he was ill, but at that time, an awful lot of young people died,
mm-hmm.
young in their 30s, appendicitis and various things.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we didn't know. But I was standing right by his side when he died, and that's something you never get over.
Mm-hmm.
Both my stepfather, too, I was there.
Yeah.
And it's very traumatic. And in those days, to me, funerals are barbaric. And once you're introduced to them that young,
mm-hmm.
they keep the coffin in the home for 3 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And people come in and out, and it is horrendous on an adult, let alone a child.
Mm-hmm.
I got so I couldn't hardly go to see my grandmother because my grandfather and my uncle had laid in her living room. Mm-hmm. And she used to love to sit in that spot and rock. She felt close, you know, and now that was the difference in the age group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for you, that's sort of, in a very short period of time, you experienced that twice.
Mm-hmm.
Then
three times.
Three times.
My grandfather died in 37, then 39, my uncle died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was very, very close to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they came, my grandparents were the type of parents that weren't dictatorial and critical and, you know, when you'd go in, oh, the kids are home, you know, and they would just get so excited and so happy
mm-hmm.
that their sons came home real often to see them. And the kids were always. It wasn't like today, the grandparents, you know, don't want to be bothered with kids. My mother had kidney trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like every few months, the ambulance was screaming in, you know, and my grandparents lived 5 miles away, but they would beat the ambulance there.
Mm-hmm.
And just couldn't wait to take us home,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we would fish for crawdads on the creek bank, and then my grandmother would sit on a log out in the yard and build a fire and scramble his eggs and fix our
mm-hmm.
Crawdad's tails
mm-hmm.
out like that. And there was just never anything too much trouble for them to do for us, which
mm-hmm.
in so many ways made up for the loss, if it can be done, of your father.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was never a minute of any day or night that we couldn't have called them and talk to them or going to see them anytime we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And they still lived on the farm when I was, still in the young girlfriend, let's go spend the weekend away. They'd come up on Friday night and take us back to the farm. And they had a big old house with a huge upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
You had 6 double beds in it where they'd raise their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd take us girls out there and feed us a banquet, and then they'd take us back into town on Saturday night and let us watch the boys walk around, you know, or walk around the square, because that's all there was to do. And one night in particular, we says, oh, Granddad, take us around the square just one more time. He did. He went outside in the alleys around the square, and he laughed about that until he died. Whatever we wanted, we got.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd take us home on Saturday night then, and then Sunday morning we'd get up and come back into town to Sunday school and church, and then we'd go back out to their house for homemade ice cream and watermelon, and then we'd come back to church on Sunday night, and they'd leave us to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's the kind of love I was raised with on my father's side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was nothing in the money aspect. I never even thought about presents or anything like that. When I was 8, my grandfather bought me a cedar chest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge walnut cedar chest.
Mm-hmm.
And the black family that lived on his farm, every time Miss Maybell, my name was Mary Bell,
mm-hmm.
Maybell was coming, they'd always come down to see the chubby little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out in the wagon and brought me the cedar chest, and it was big enough for me to crawl in because I was a very tiny little nothing at those years. And then the next present that I can remember anything other than taking me shopping. He always bought me shoes and whatever things like that I needed, he would buy. But my junior football banquet, I had made kind of a beige crinkle crepe evening gown. It had red fox cuffs on it that someone had given me. Well, they drove to Paris just to pick up a chiffon scarf for me to have for that. Mm-hmm. Now, those are about the only presents I can remember. Mm-hmm. But it was the way they did it mm-hmm. that was important. They had plenty of money. Mm-hmm. Heavens, my grandmother left me the estate after all those years alone of, right at $60,000. Mm-hmm. After living at least 30 years after my grandfather died. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't lack of money, but that wasn't the important part. Mm-hmm. And we always spent Christmases and birthdays together. I had the big, and to my grandmother's way of thinking, she would cook two chickens, mm-hmm. a big, say 35 pound turkey, a couple of hams, and they would be the family in the dining room. They'd start out with tables and keep going until they run out of people to sit at. And the old folks would sit up at the head of the table and the kids at the other end. And we all ate at once. We were never shoveled off to the, eat first or anything. Mm-hmm. And one aunt always had a baby for us to love. She finally had seven, I think. And one of her sons was lost in the service. He was the third ship that was hit. He was in Pearl Harbor. Mm. And then the third ship that was hit, he was washed overboard, and they never found him. Mm. And cousins, we were always very close as brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You mentioned the Black family that mm-hmm. was on the letter. I was wondering about, in terms of that community, were there many Black people living in the area?
Yes. When my father was alive, we had two houses of families living on our farm that did the work. Mm-hmm. And we kids never had to work as long as my father lived. Mm-hmm. And they were taken care of. The same doctor that we had doctored them, the same market that serviced, we bought from. Mm-hmm. My father would take them into town anytime they wanted to go, and on Saturday, every Saturday to shop. And we had a lot of Ku Klux Klan problems at that time. My mother would go in, drive our Model T in, because that's all you could cut those dirt roads with, is black, old black dirt. Mm-hmm. And my father would lay on the running board. Am I supposed to tell all this?
Sure.
He'd lay on the running board, and the road up to our house from the main road, they had main roads and then little roads, there was a cotton field, and my father would roll off the running board and lay in the cotton field. And while we were all in town, the Ku Klux Klan would come in big trucks at crop gathering time and promise the blacks anything, just fabulous amounts to go. And they'd take them up in Oklahoma and then dump them, never pay them anything. Mm-hmm. And of course, the same group never went more than once, but they were also threatened. And in a couple of weeks, they'd call Mr. Vincent to come and get them. And they'd be up there stranded, no food, no money, nothing. Mm-hmm. And we played with their children, mm-hmm. and they lived across the creek from us. And I never remember any prejudice, because I had black, we called them Negroes in those days, mm-hmm. that did the wash and take care of me. And to this day, I'm still washing my hands. Every other breath is, come wash your little hands, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And we loved them. We would take naps together, and we'd eat together, and they had their school, we had our school and churches, and once a month in our churches, the black minister would preach at our church, and our minister would go to theirs. Mm. And whoever was sick, black or white, the other would look after. Mm-hmm. There was segregation, there was poverty, there was abuse. I didn't see it at that time, mm-hmm. but I look back and I see it. But none came from my family. Mm. My father was a strict believer in humanity.